16 minutes shy of 5 o'clock here on Downtown. It's time for this week's Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan with us in the studio. Good day, sir.
Good afternoon. And I do hope that everybody who is listening to us from their vehicles is paying much more attention to the roads than my sonorous voice. Ugly out there. Do drive safe, folks. And I think everybody's distracted, of course, because it is voting day, election day. So, you know, your mind's distracted, but the rain right now is pretty ugly. So if you haven't voted, do vote. But if you've already voted, forget about it. Just focus on those little lines.
Yeah, please. Just for all of us.
For me. For all of us. For all of us.
For Eric, who's got to drive home after this.
We all got to drive home after this, right? By the way, I must say, speaking of drive homes and everything, I had a lovely time this weekend. I can get into it in a second, but I, for varying reasons, I saw a lot of different faces this weekend, which is always a nice thing, because frankly, I'm a big introvert, and I don't get out much unless sort of forced. I received an awful lot of compliments from a lot of you. Thank you for listening to this radio show and this segment.
Wow.
You know, sometimes I'm sure Rich and Carrie can identify. You sort of feel like you're talking into a bubble, and no one's. So it's very cool. Thank you for all the good feedback. I really appreciated that. Big weekend for me. My band played at the Penobscot Poorhouse not once but twice, which is a lot of fun. We have a new sound guy, Keith, who's familiar with the crowds down at the Poorhouse. So he was good at hyping them up, and we had a good time. A lot of wine tasting as well for Bangor Wine and Cheese. If I saw you at any of those events, it was super cool. Nice to see you out there. We're kind of into the end of the year rush. And, so as longtime members know, we're kind of trying to get through the rest of the world before we head into, holiday madness. And of course, you know, we do a Thanksgiving pairing special, and we talk about some holiday bubbles and good stuff like that. So before we get to all that, we've got to get to the rest of the world. And we have a whole hemisphere to go, folks. So, you know, this is where we're at. So for the next month, we're going to talk about South America, right? South America, pretty insignificant, right? I mean, it's only the second biggest wine-producing continent in the world, second to Europe, right? It's like we don't beat it. We're not there. We're not even close. They make a lot of wine. Of course, a lot of European expats there, a lot of history, and we're going to cover a lot of that as we go through this next month. Something sort of that I don't always remember to mention, but it's kind of profound and made me think, especially as today we're sort of, you know, really getting into cold weather season. I spent part of my day replacing a door that was an interior door being used as an exterior door on my house. As many of us have sort of MacGyvered parts of our houses, this was something that necessitated change immediately before we get into the bad weather. So, we're all sort of thinking about that. Well, of course, on the other side of the world, folks, it's 6 months different. So we're really talking about a vintage happening at completely the opposite time of the year as we're used to thinking about it up here in the sort of, you know, September, early October sort of picking thing. That's not when they're doing it. They're basically talking about, you know, what they're going to bottle, and there are a lot of them are on their press junkets. You know, we get a lot of Northern Hemisphere winemakers here during their slow season. Well, this is, you know, it's a different season for Southern Hemisphere winemakers. And that's just kind of interesting if you think about it. Vintage reports are coming out 6 months in advance. All sorts of just sort of a different dynamic. What does that mean? Not necessarily anything, but it's really kind of cool to think about, you know, that profound shift in agriculture, since that's really what we're talking about anyway. So, how did South America in general kind of get its wine culture? Well, as I mentioned, tons of European immigrants. The first vinifera, the type of grape that we all like to drink, was first planted in the 1500s in South America. So there's been, you know, obviously, I mean, for anybody who reads their history, if there still is history in the schools, remember that the immigration was just as heavy there. They like their booze, frankly. So they brought grapes to try and make it work. For a long, 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 long time, and I mean up until basically the 90s and 2000s, most of the wine made there, and remember, second biggest producer, was drunk in the country of its origin, right? It wasn't exported. It was there for the locals to quaff. And subsequently, production standards were not that great. I mean, there just wasn't international demand for quality. It was sort of, you know, what the locals were used to. And so you'd in fact see, you know, basically local varieties of the wines that were consumed back in whatever old country you wanted, right? For instance, in Brazil, which is the number three country in South America in terms of production, it was basically mostly sweet, sparkling, following an old Italian model. You know, you just kind of frizzy and easy because there was just a ton of Italian immigrants there. And that's just kind of what they wanted. They didn't focus on, was it good? It was just there and cheap. And, you know, so it's just starting to get scattered out. The serious export, we're going to talk, I guess, in depth about Argentina today. But the first serious exports, as I said, started in the 90s and the 2000s, starting with Chile, actually. Some labels that you might know, value labels, but you don't really think of them as such. But that's really where it started to get brought out. And then obviously Argentina followed. Now you're seeing along the eastern coast, for instance, we'll talk about Uruguay. Really interesting stuff coming out of there. So inland, as in most of the cases, right, is pretty much a non-factor in terms of wine producing, except for what we're going to talk about today, Argentina. Argentina, I guess, pretty inarguably is the most famous Southern American wine producer now. It's just, it's really taken off. You've had some really big names and some big international investment recently. And it is kind of like, I don't know if people can really picture South America and picture where things are, but Mendoza is not like on the coast. It's inland on the other side of the Andes Mountains, right? So this gigantic, striking mountain range. And then in the shadow, in the eastern lee of that, is where Mendoza is, and where you're finding really just massive plantings in all these little valleys that kind of reach finger like up into these mountains, right? And what's so special about that? What are you seeing? Well, what you're seeing is high altitude planting, which is obviously, we've talked a lot about that. I was just doing a bunch of Italian wines this weekend, so northern Italy, getting into the Alps. There, and then of course the Jura, Savoie region, Switzerland, even, you know, Spain being so high in elevation, we've talked about, that's actually very high. So in South America, where you're going into the start of the Andes Mountains. That's really, really excellent. Why? Because phylloxera really wasn't a problem, right? Very fresh, very cold, almost desert-like up there. And so you had these vinifera plants that stuck around, and they're beautiful. The family, the Catena family, I'm sure a lot of you have heard of Catena. They were the ones that first started, you know, because as in a lot of places, all the valleys, Napa Valley, Burgundy, wherever, pick it. The low-lying, very fertile areas are where, you know, agriculture was really started. And so it took a lot of cojones to say, like, listen, I know it's going to be harder to grow grapes up there on the hillsides, but I think we're going to do better at it. Yeah, we're not going to have as great a yield, but let's figure it out and see if we can get quality. And of course, the quality is there. The quality is absolutely there. like the Catena family, we're going to be drinking a Malbec that is grown in high altitudes. This is from Bodega Atamisque. This is their Catalpa line. I believe we've tried some of their wines before. Mm. But this is a wine, it's our best-selling Malbec. Malbec is, of course, sort of the superstar grape of Argentina, brought over from the Bordeaux region and upstream from Bordeaux and Cahors, where it's a little more meaty and kind of, you know, chunky. Here in Argentina, it's really taken on sort of a much more rich, voluptuous model. And the Catalpa Malbec is absolutely one of those, just very smooth, very lovely. And then you're also seeing Bordelaise, you know, Bordeaux-style blends, because you're also seeing a lot of plantings of Merlot and Cab. They're doing very, very well there. So if you have an opportunity, we have a couple of different blends and single varietal Malbec bottles worth checking out very much, especially if you like the Bordeaux ideal, but you want it a little more new-worldy, a little more polished, a little more glistening. These are really, really great bottles, and they're still not very expensive, with the exception of, like, you know, Catena Alta, which is their high-end line. Yeah, those guys stretch into the $50, $60, $70, but basically, there's some really, really excellent wines that are affordable. I am running low on time, so I wanted to mention a couple things that are going on at the store. First of all, besides a wonderful Malbec, another sort of wine that you might want at this time of year is a port. It is port season, and our wine of the week at Bangor Wine and Cheese is the Juarez 10-year Otima 10 Tawny. It is an absolutely fantastic deal. So if you've got a port lover in your life, or you got somebody you got to buy for Christmas or something like that, do stop in. It's a really, really good deal, and you're going to you or they will enjoy it very much. We do have our tasting this month on the 15th. And, of course, as we do every year around this time, we'll probably drop some of these South American goodies in there because they are wonderful for Thanksgiving. But, of course, we're going to be doing some wines perfect for your Thanksgiving table, which is very exciting. You know, it's time to eat.
Mm.
Yeah. And the other thing, just the last thing I wanted to mention, was something that we unveiled this weekend is The Giving Tree. The Giving Tree, of course, a book by Shel Silverstein, but turned into a fundraiser inspired by my son, actually, who liked the idea of a fundraiser wherein even the smallest amount could go and create something bigger. So The Giving Tree is a Bangor Youth Symphony and Youth Education fundraiser, all about the kids. So come on into the store, or you'll see it at various symphony and youth symphony events. There's envelopes on there in all sorts of denominations, with real world, opportunities to benefit the youth symphony, and also the ticket voucher program for getting students to the symphony for just $5 a seat. They are both incredible programs, and they are really going to help further the education of little minds, which is the best thing in the world. So when you're in the store or, again, at one of these symphony events, check out The Giving Tree and give generously, please. And I look forward to seeing you all in the store, and we'll see you next week. We'll talk Chile.
Ooh, and this is wonderful.
It is wonderful.
Friendly little wine here. Thank you, Eric, as always. And you seem much less stressed, but I know it's because the Giants didn't play last weekend.
No, that's right. No arrests thus far. I have voted, so my stress there is pretty much removed. They're still terrible, but there are, Dallas did me a favor and proved that the entire conference is just pretty abysmal. Yeah. So, Schadenfreude.
There you go.
Cheers.
We'll see you next week. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Stop in and check out The Giving Tree as well. 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor.